This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting because it would be kind of cool. I mentioned Towns, the 2028 quarterback, like a legit dual threat guy, a guy who can make plays with his feet and his arm. He's got arm strength, soft touch. That's why he's got all these offers before he's even a junior. And he's probably going to commit here in the next few months. Nebraska is favored to get him. We'll see how that plays out. And then we got to re-recruit the guy for two more years because that's just how it is right now. Maybe he'll move to Omaha, commute to Lincoln, something like that. Is that a terrible ill-timed joke? I apologize. But you stack that potentially with Trey Taylor, potentially. And, man, it can get exciting down the road, but there's so many question marks along the way with it. So we did promise, as Jake reminded me during the break, because I'm not going to lie, I completely forgot. Maybe because it could be interesting as we go through the month of November and with Nebraska's schedule. But we started to go through Nebraska's football schedule the other day, and we got through October. And as tends to happen, we ran out of time. We're like, hey, we'll just forward that on to the future. All right. And after October, the first eight games, well, let's just recap real quick. So first three games, Ohio, Bowling Green, North Dakota. We both had 3-0. Is that okay?
Is that correct? I like that.
Now we had Michigan State, Maryland. We left some room for error here. We said 4-1 after the first five. Remind me, am I correct on that?
That's correct.
All right. You had us going 6-1 and beating Indiana and Oregon. Is that also correct?
No. I had those as losses, actually.
Oh. Why? Why?
Well, they're top five programs.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Okay, so 5-3 right now, heading into our, 4-3. And then we had the Washington game. That's what it was, because we had the bye. So we had 4-1, then Indiana, Oregon, 4-3. And then we had the bye. And we both agreed that Washington, which is Halloween, in Lincoln, probably going to be a night game, probably going to be the blackout. I think it's something they want to continue. I actually think it was pretty cool. If you beat USC, everybody's amped up for it. It goes with winning and losing. People get amped up, or they don't get amped up based on whether you're winning or losing, and that's a fair thing. So, but I look at the Washington game. It's going to be Halloween, probably a night game, probably the blackout. After the bye, it's like the perfect time bye. I'll say it again. You look at, you know, Joel Klatt doesn't even have our schedule as one of the six toughest in the Big Ten. Mm. I watched his video on YouTube the other day. The three easiest schedules in the Big Ten, and then the three hardest. The three hardest he had were Northwestern, Michigan, Ohio State. Well, I talked about Ohio State's basically playing half an NFL schedule. Northwestern plays 11 straight games and a bunch of top teams. Michigan plays five of the preseason top six highest-rated teams in the Big Ten, and they play Oklahoma. So it's hard to argue. And then he goes, just for kicks and grins, you know, I'll mention the next three highest, you know, three hardest, toughest schedules. It was like Indiana and not Nebraska at 5-6. I was like, what? So we do have a tough schedule, but part of the reason that Klatt had these other schedules rated harder than us, and after I heard his case, it was hard to argue, was, first of all, Ohio State plays Texas in the non-con, Michigan plays Oklahoma in the non-con, and Northwestern has 11 straight weeks without a bye, and we don't have any of those things. So it kind of made sense. You look at Indiana, they go 9 straight weeks without a bye. They play a lot of really good teams. So I think part of the reason, because we play some really good teams. Absolutely 5 teams that'll be ranked in the top 20, 25 to, at worst, probably 6, but at least 5. So we don't have an easy slate at all. But the way the schedule is laid out, they couldn't have laid it out much better with the opponents we know we're going to play than how they did. So the bye week, I think, is timed perfectly after game 7. At home versus Washington. I still don't know what that dynamic's going to be with Desmond Williams. Uber talented quarterback. So talented LSU wanted him. Bye, guys. I'm gone. See ya. Oh, wait. This door won't. Oh, crap. It's locked. I have to stay. Hi. It's good to see everybody and be back. Is it? I don't know what that dynamic's going to be like. They have an uber talented quarterback up there at Washington. By the way, same year as Dylan came out, same year as Lagway and a lot of these other quarterbacks. They all came out in that same class. Julian Sain up Ohio State, all in that same class. Very talented quarterback class, came out of high school 3 years ago. But Washington's going to be good. They're preseason number 18. If you look at On3's, you know, way too early January, February preseason rankings. But we both had Nebraska winning that game just because of the atmosphere, the excitement after a bye. Are you sticking with that? Because it would put us at 5-3 heading into November, Jake. How, what are your, what's the courage of your convictions on this?
Well, part of it I feel good about is that we did give a loss early in the season. So I think if they did, you know, I'm kind of doing some back math here. I think Michigan State and Maryland, I mean, it's tough to tell. We don't, like you said, it's tough to even know what Washington is going to be going into that game from here. And that's with a few. I mean, some of these, with this whole schedule thing, like Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, you could pretty much lock in are going to be top five teams, or at least you think so, right? Because that's what we did with Penn State last year and didn't turn out that way. Some of these other tougher games, the Washingtons, the Illinois, the Iowas, there's a lot of change going on. You know, had 9-win seasons, all of them from last year. So you assume they're good programs, but you don't really know what they're going to look like till it gets there. So I can give them that win. It might be, you know, not with the most confidence, but yeah, I mean, I'm sticking with the 5-3.
Well, basically 5-3, because either, you know, maybe we beat Washington at home after by electric atmosphere at night, or maybe we do beat to start the year Maryland and Michigan State, which we did not have us going 5-0 at that point. So 5-3 after 8 games. By the way, you know who the team that Joel Klatt said had the easiest schedule? And this is pretty much unanimous. I've heard a few other national pundits talk about how they have the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. Do you know who that team is?
Wisconsin?
Penn State.
Penn State, okay.
Penn State. I don't know if that mattered, but I just felt like doing the other end of the spectrum. I talked about the teams with the hardest schedules, Penn State, and a lot of people have them in the playoffs simply because of their easy, I don't want to say easy, but easier schedule and slate of games they have to play. All right, November, here we go, at Illinois. What's your prediction, Jake?
Well, again, this is where I would love to give Nebraska the one here. Illinois just got a lot of change. Even their defensive coordinator just left this past week. So they've got a lot going on there. But back-to-back, you know, 9-plus win seasons for them, the first time in program history, I believe. That and Brett Bielema. Brett Bielema generally has had Nebraska's numbers over the years. It's on the road. I don't think I can give Nebraska this one.
So that would put us at 5-4. And to your point, Illinois has a lot of new this year, a lot of new. So when I say there's five teams that will absolutely be ranked in the top 25 and there's a sixth team that's a question mark, the sixth team is Illinois. And they've been a top 12, top 15 team the past 2 years in a row. So why, Adam, would they not potentially be ranked this upcoming year? They got a lot of new. So they may be just as good or they may not be as good. Do they fall down?
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
A little, if they fall down a little, they're still top 25. If they fall down a decent amount, like they lose two or three more games, then they're out of the top 25. So they're kind of that bubble team. I'm going to be a coward, and I'm going to lump the next two games together and not go game by game, because lumping games together is easier. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
I say we win one of the next two games, either at Illinois or at Rutgers, and I don't take either one of those for granted. Greg Schiano teams are tough, blue-collar, physical, smash-mouth teams. We're going to have to go halfway across the country, play at Piscataway, much like going halfway across the country, playing a Maryland team that we probably should have beat by more, but it came down to the last second, found a way to win. But we did not beat them by the amount we should have, which meant it was a close game, and close games can go either way. So I'm going to say we win either at Illinois or at Rutgers, but I'm going to say that we split those two. So that would put us at 6-4 at that point. All right.
And bowl eligible.
Very, very good point. Very good point. I'm still going to never accept you moving the goalposts, I know that excites you. Okay, what's your prediction for Rutgers?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, that's a tough program. Their defense has actually dropped off a little bit in the last couple of years, which is a little bit surprising. So you're kind of, you know, they have to kind of rebound. They got their own things they got to work on. Just missed the playoffs. I don't think Ethan Kaliak-Manis has an eighth or ninth year of eligibility or whatever it is at this point. So, you know, they've got some work to do. Not an easy road trip by any means, like you're saying, but I would favor Nebraska in that one.
All right. So you'd have a 6-4 there as well.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say as of right now, maybe take Ohio State to be the favorite over Nebraska in the next game?
I think so.
So 6-5 going into Iowa.
There you are.
All right. Now, the last time we beat Iowa, it was in Iowa City. It was in their house. Yeah. Can we do it again? What's your prediction here? Because I will say this. If we, like, 7 wins last year after we had done it the year before, to me was not a step forward. It just wasn't. It was not as tough of a schedule when it wasn't a brutal schedule 2 years ago. Could you argue it was a step back? Yeah, you can. Could you argue maybe it was lateral? You could argue both those. What it was not a step forward. I could argue that if we win 7 games, especially before the bowl game, it doesn't take the bowl game to get to a 7th win. I could argue that is a step forward. Now, is it a Goliath-sized step forward? No, maybe it's more like a David, but David beat Goliath. My point, I don't know where I'm going with that, but my point is simply it's a step in the right direction if we could get especially 7 wins next year, especially before the bowl game, regardless of how big that step is, at least it's a step in the right direction. What's your prediction here for at Iowa, Black Friday?
Yeah, I mean, again, they've got some things that they're going to be replacing out there in Iowa City. Like I said, it will be out in Iowa City. But I mean, at this point, I just can't. I can predict everything I want. They've won 10 out of the last 11. Kirk Ferentz has beaten Matt Rhule every time. I can't, you know, so again, put your rose-colored glasses on if you want to. This could be the year, sure. But at this point, I think Iowa has earned the right to probably be the favorites going into that game.
Let me throw something at you. Because Matt Rhule's 2-10 in November since he got here, correct?
Correct.
Again, that's a fact, not an opinion. You want to know another fact that somebody pointed out to me just this morning? The last 2 years, every single game that Matt Rhule's coached in November, he's had a true freshman starting quarterback. Hopefully that is not the, well, it probably, it will not be the case next year. Does that change how you view this at all? Knowing that, hey, we'll probably have a more experienced quarterback, veteran quarterback, however you want to phrase it. Does that change how you view that Iowa game at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, a little bit. Nebraska's November problems, unfortunately, go beyond Matt Rhule. But that's why I like, I mean, part of this discussion is why I like Calandria over Kenny Minchie, because he wouldn't have been a freshman, but again, you're year four. At some point we got to move past, it can't just be a constant cycle of, hey, well, let's give the new guy a shot. Right. And I know Calandria is the new guy, but at least he's got experience. And you know, so it wouldn't be a freshman thing. And maybe that's why they're not bringing a freshman on the roster. That's so they can avoid this, but, altogether helpful. Right. But, yeah. But not, not enough to I think, get you over that hump. And again, the other thing, as I thought you might be going, is Iowa's record in November for the last 6-7 years is incredible. It's like 23-5 or something. So regardless of what Nebraska struggled in those games, Iowa's figured out November.
That's a great point that I was not aware of. And I was literally going to just decide my prediction for this game as the words were coming out of my mouth. But I think that, 23-5?
I'll double check. It's something like that.
Dude, it could be 22-10, and that's still much better. I think for now I'm going to go with Iowa winning that game. I do, man. I get excited about Anthony Calandria and the way he plays. Just the way he plays. Even if he goes and makes a few mistakes here and there, just the way he plays. You need a style of play that's going to ignite a team and ignite a fan base. All right, so that would put Nebraska at 6-6. We have, obviously, we'd be bowl eligible. No idea who we're going to play at that point. But 6-6, how would you feel if we were 6-6 at the end of the regular season?
Not great. Again, that's why I kind of made the joke about getting to the bowl game. Certainly don't want that. We're kind of back there. I mean, with this schedule, I think you're kind of back to fighting for a bowl game. And that's not where you want to be in year four. That's why you need them to elevate where the projections are, right? And so I absolutely do not want to be in another position of 5 wins going into Iowa City, because that could be traumatic. I mean, that's just happened so far. You lose it again. It's like, we're not progressing as a program at that point. So, you know, not where you want to be. Like you said, 7 wins regular season. I think you could look at it differently. Certainly how it happens. Are there blowouts? Are you losing at the end of the season by blowout fashion like it was this year? Did you cross the line? Did you get some upsets? Win a top 25 game, beat Iowa, all that sort of stuff. So it's hard to say, but that's why I think there is kind of this dark cloud over Nebraska's program right now, is that realistically, without rose-colored glasses, it does appear that you're back to kind of fighting for a bowl game.
If we're 6-6, I'm going to go back to something Matt Rhule said at the end of year two after the Pinstripe Bowl. He said, we're not going to talk about 6-6 seasons after this going forward. Do you remember that in the press conference?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, yay, that's awesome, that's great. I will say, if we go on and win the bowl game, you're 7-6. We can go back to being like, all right, at least we didn't go backwards. You could argue a step forwards, especially with the schedule. But 6-6 at the end of a regular season. And because if you lose the bowl game, you're now 6-7. You're under 500. So, but that's our projections and predictions for now. We are allowed to change them 9,482 times between now and opening kickoff. All right. When Nebraska kicks off versus Ohio. I got a fun question. And we're going to talk about SEC bias when we get back. If Tanner V doesn't come, and we just needed like a wildcat type quarterback. I know Calandry can run, TJ can run, but we just want like a wildcat quarterback just in case type situation. Who on Nebraska's roster do you think could be a decent wildcat quarterback? Let us know. Text it on the text line. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.